The Mike Missinelli Show. Turn your radios
up. Mike's ready. Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Missinelli Show on a Wednesday. You know what that means. It means it's General Knowledge Wednesday. It means we're giving away a really nice prize today. A Fogo de Chaux $150 gift card. And let's see, what's the topic du jour? Well, the Sixers begin the season tonight, okay? Flyers also play, but the Sixers in game one of a kind of a new era, I guess, without number 25 in the lineup. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to seeing this new alignment, a bunch of guys that want to play together, that seem to like to play together, and they'll win tonight. They'll start off the season with a W. That's absolutely no problem. What will overshadow this is every day this goes on, Ben Simmons, whatever they do gets overshadowed by Ben Simmons. And so today we'll find out, we won't find out till tomorrow what's going to happen. Tomorrow's more actually of an intrigue day than the actual result of a basketball game. Now think about that for a second. That's out of whack, right? And it was out of whack because it's caused by one man. And I am so tired of these people who are outside this area. Well, there are a few inside this area, but the people outside this area have been polluted by the Philadelphia thing, and they automatically must think that it's a Philadelphia 76er or a Philadelphia town problem that is victimizing Ben Simmons. You can go down the list. You've heard them. You know, that Kendrick Perkins is one of them. That Jay Williams is another one. These guys that don't actually live it every day like fans in Philadelphia do, with this guy holding up a franchise right now. He's holding it up, basically, is what he's doing. So we have to live with it. And tonight, the Sixers will finally play a game. Hopefully, for a couple of hours, we can forget about this Ben drama. But tomorrow is going to be the story again. What did he do? Did he show up? If he showed up, did he participate in drills? If he didn't participate in drills, they're going to suspend him for the next game. What's going to happen from this point on? It goes on and on and on and on. Even to the point of real estate. And today, I saw on Twitter, courtesy of the broker who's handling his Morristown house, it's back on the market. One day. So it was on the market. He had to come back in town. He probably took it off the market. He's now put it back on the market, and he's lowered the price. And so I don't know. What's that mean? Does that mean he's not going to stay here? He's going to go somewhere, or he's going to rent an apartment, whatever it is. But in case you're interested, because I want to give people a full shot at this, Tyrone is advising that it'd be a violation to buy this particular house.
Yes, it would be.
But it's in Morristown, New Jersey. Days on the market, one day. It's the first day on the market, back on the market. It is now selling for a bargain price of $4,999,999. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about it. It's 10,477 square feet. So basically, most of us can fit two of our houses inside it.
I could fit
three.
Five.
That's right, 10. So most people are like 2,500, you know, you're in that area.
That's four. At 2,500, you can fit four. I'm under 2,000, so I can fit five.
Right, four times. So if you're in the market for a bigger spread, Ty, the taxes on this house in Jersey, mm-hmm. very high taxes as it is, $36,877.
That's going to be troublesome for me with the way my bank account is set up. All that's
right.
Not real.
But hold on a second, because you can get a mortgage right now, 2.95% interest.
Low interest still.
30-year fixed mortgage, Ty. Right. I'm trying to interest you in here.
Yeah, I'm thinking
about it. It was built 2019. He put a lot of additions in it. Let me tell you, It's got five bedrooms. That's all?
Feels like there should be more.
It should be more bedrooms. Five bedrooms, five baths, and one half bath.
All right. One and five and a half is good.
Right.
Something for the guest.
Exactly. So if you get the mortgage and you put $1 million down, well, shouldn't be a problem for a man of your stature. You throw Jen puts in a half million, you put in the other half million.
The way I'm looking at it is that we should be able, Jen and I can split that house 50-50, 5,000 square foot apiece.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then we'll come up with 500,000 each.
You have the east wing, I have the west wing.
Right.
Yeah. You move another family in if you want.
To
defer the cost.
Yeah.
But in any event, if you put $1 million down at 20%, and you get that 30-year fixed mortgage, a mere $19,830 per month. is your mortgage, your mortgage payment.
Chump change.
Okay.
So there you go. All right.
Nobody buy that house, by the way, till after the trade. Nobody buy Ben Simmons properties. Agency, I hope you get full price. I hope you get a bidding war and get over full ask after Ben's gone. As of today, nobody buys Ben Simmons homes in the area. Neither one buy
them. The broker's name, I'm going to give her a shout out here.
Yes,
the broker, because she might have it on the market for a while based on your advice to people not to buy this particular property. It's Juliet Cordero.
All right.
Juliet Cordero. She's a lawyer also.
Ms. Cordero, I hope that you get full ask after he's traded. Until then, I hope you get nothing.
All right. So in any event, let's go through more of the drama here. Because Sharania has a kind of chapter and verse on what has happened here. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, before yesterday, we got thrown out of practice. Here's what the reports say. That he has come into the facility and has not talked to anybody, even the people that he's known, like people in the hall, security people, whatever, workers, everyday workers. He has snubbed them. He has not been...
That's a violation.
He has been disengaged and not an active participant in any kind of conversation. So when he first came on the court, each day he trains by himself on his own side of the basketball court, shooting jumpers and free throws with rebounders. Ball boys, I guess, are forced to rebound for him, right? Sixer players greeted Simmons to start practice on Sunday. First practice. They said, "Welcome, Ben." And he nodded. He did not elicit a response. He just nodded back at his teammates. Now, on Sunday and Monday, he completed less than a handful of total defensive drills of practice. He played a few defensive stands in a scrimmage on Sunday. On Monday, he participated in exactly one drill, talking more to the G League coaches than his 76ers coaches as his team went through preparation for their opener. Throughout his first 2 days of practice, Simmons did not sprint in a live scrimmage setting. He did work up a mini sweat, however, after he was involved with some one-on-one work with coaches. He did not shower at the team's facility. So even on Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, even if he broke any kind of a sweat, he simply came and went. He changed his clothes, did not shower, out the gate.
It's disgusting, first off.
Simmons then showed up on Tuesday with a similar disposition, disengaged from everyone, spending time alone, and displaying the same stoic face. He had yet to be placed in an offensive scrimmage than the practices. So then, of course, what happened. He was asked to take part on Tuesday, a spot on defense. Yesterday, did the walkthrough drill. He shook his head and refused. So Rivers said, he asked one more. Said, "Ben, get in and take the spot." Simmons said no again, and Rivers said, "Go home." Simmons dropped the basketball, went straight out to leave the building. And that's where we stand, folks. So tonight, the Sixers are in New Orleans getting ready to play a game. Tomorrow, another big day in the drama that is Ben Simmons. The most illogical thing that I've ever seen in this town in a really long time, if not ever. And we live through it.
And you know what? He's making a problem for them because normally it's at 8 o'clock Eastern start. You're all the way in New Orleans, so it's a later game, and you fly back late. Normally, tomorrow would be an off day, and you'd have Friday shoot-around before the home opener. The fact that they even have to go in tomorrow is because of his fool behind. Tomorrow's normally an off day in a regular season flow, but they can't afford it because they can't afford to give that dude a game check. So they got to come to work tomorrow to see if he's going to act right at work. So he's making all his teammates work an extra day.
It's fascinating. Jennifer Squirto is back with us.
Hello.
She had missed.
I missed a lot.
The drama over the last 2 days. I guess following it from afar, what was your reaction?
So I was in South Carolina visiting some family, and my family's from Atlanta, so they don't really know the whole Ben Simmons story. So I had to start at the very beginning with them and explain everything. And I'm sitting by the pool with my dad yesterday explaining the Ben Simmons stuff, and all of a sudden Twitter's just going crazy. And I'm like, wait, he went home. Like, they told him to go home for practice.
Yeah.
And my dad's just like, I don't know what to do with this information. I'm like, well, imagine being in Philadelphia and living with it.
Yeah, well, we lived with it yesterday. It was hot and heated. And the reaction today, I guess, will be not as heated, but still intense.
Yeah, I was kind of sad to miss it yesterday. I mean, I was glad I was hanging by the pool with a cocktail, but, you know, I was kind of sad.
All right, so the Sixers tonight, we get some action. We finally have NBA action, and the Sixers are involved, but it's different, obviously. But here's what we'll do today. We'll discuss anything you want to discuss, including the Eagles. Very peculiar comment was made today by the head football coach involving his quarterback. And we'll get into that in a second. And you can, you know, use your brain to weigh what he's actually saying there. And also, of course, General Knowledge Wednesday, which is three lucky listeners get a question correctly today. Get the $150 Fogo the Shaw gift card. And that is a great great prize. So make a reservation for Center City or King of Prussia at Fogo.com. Only over three categories today, so we can get the repeat categories that are most popular. We're going to go general knowledge. We're going to go in honor of the Sixers opener. Sixers all-time roster. I am going to take a player. I'm going to give you hints. A player from our past with the Sixers. It won't be too obscure. It should be somebody you would know. You should be able to get the player that I'm asking you to get here with the Sixers all-time roster. And movie quotes. Give me a movie quote. You tell me the movie, and it's kind of movie dramas.
All right. The over-under has been set at 9.1.
Oh, you're going 9 today.
Because you went down to three categories, I don't think there's going to be one where we go 0 for the day.
All right.
Therefore, the line's at 9.1.
Okay. Correct over. Answers.
Sounds good.
I'm taking the over.
You're going to take the over today.
I think we get double digits today.
We'll see how it all unfolds here. Here's how you get in. 610-632-0975. It is the Mike Masinelli Show. Gang's all here. General Knowledge Wednesday. And we're back after this.
The Mike Masinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jen Scordo with today's Twitter poll.
All right, we know the Sixers won't be better without Ben Simmons pre-trade, but will they be more fun to watch? You can answer yes, they'll be more fun, or no, Ben's style was fun. Early votes have yes, it'll be more fun winning.
All righty.
I do think it's going to be more fun to watch. Not better team.
Yeah.
More fun to watch without
maybe.
Him.
That's what I voted
maybe, because he's Ben was like a toothache in a lot of ways.
Right.
Yeah.
And then early.
Yeah, you keep moving it, but you're always bothered by it.
That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. That's what it's going to be. And also, it'll be interesting to see if somebody emerges. Now, you never know. Like, you didn't know Van Fleet, for example. I'm giving him the ultimate example. As an undrafted guy, he ends up being a guy that makes over $20 million. Because you don't know if a guy's going to emerge until they do. This at least provides the opportunity for Isaiah Joe, for example, to be what the people think he could be, or some other player to emerge, and that's fun. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not it happens is a different deal, but it would be fun to, at least the possibility is fun.
It's going to be fun in a game where they're going to beat the Pelicans. I think they do.
I think they do.
It might not be fun against the Nets. I don't know.
It'll be fun against the Nets.
I don't know. We'll see.
No, the Nets are better.
But that doesn't mean it won't
be fun to see these guys perform.
See, I get the opposite vibe for that. It's not going to be fun for me because I know, like, the Sixers had to improve to the extent where they can play with the Nets. The only way they can do that is move Ben for a player. And since they haven't done that yet, it's not fun for me to watch them play against the Nets. Yeah, it's a weird way of looking at it, but that's what I'm weird. So
no,
yeah, that's not.
It wouldn't be fun for me because I go, God damn it, they need. This is what we're talking about here. They need that extra to beat the Nets. They don't have that extra right now.
Nets also aren't that good.
Yeah, but they're better than the Sixers. Right?
Yeah, but without Kyrie, they have no shot. The Bucks showed it. They lost Drew Holiday at this.
Well, I don't care about them against the Bucks. without Kyrie, they're probably better than Sixers.
Yeah, but it's sad. And it's more motivating that they had their first loss, so they're going to come in there on fire. But
Well, anyway, last night, you know, no TV on. There was some baseball. I actually turned off the game.
Yeah.
The Braves look like they're en route to a W to spoil your the Dodgers are going to sweep thing. And all of a sudden, it collapsed at the end.
My good friend Bellinger took care of three runs.
Couldn't touch my man Charlie Morton. All of a sudden, goes through against their bullpen.
Well, Charlie should have thrown so many pitches in the first inning. Eventually, it caught up to him.
Yeah, it did catch up to him. But anyway, I turned the game off, and I'm rewatching Wire for the 10th time.
Mm-hmm.
So last night, Avon with a hardcore move, man. Season 2, Avon in prison.
Yeah.
Spiked the package that was coming in for the inmates.
Yeah.
With rat poison.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. It's tough on the inside. It's tough on the inside.
He set up the guard who was bringing in the stuff by spiking the package that he was bringing in so he could shave years off a sentence.
Yeah. I love it. That's why
eight dudes died, 6 more in the infirmary. Rat poison.
It's tough out there, but that's why season 2 people didn't like. It's extremely important to set up the rest
really
of the series.
It really is.
It's an important series to see all sides. It's not a full story without season 2.
Exactly right. It's an underrated season in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people go, well, I wasn't interested in the doc, but the doc is just mixed in with all the other subplots.
Right. It was necessary.
Yes, it was.
But one was such a phenomenon for those that watched it.
Yeah.
And then there were some people who heard about it and then kind of started with 2.
Yeah.
And we're disappointed.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's get the man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com to explain it a little further. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline with his midweek Eagles report. He, of course, is the great Tim McManus. Hello, Tim McManus.
What's up, Mike? How you doing?
We're doing pretty good here. And, you know, we're swimming in controversy with a certain athlete. And you know what's great about this city? There's always a guy. You know? There's always a guy. I mean, you can go back and trace it. All right? It Randall. And then it was Lindros, and then it was AI, and then it was McNabb, and there's always been a guy.
Yeah.
And now it's Ben Simmons.
Yeah, and there's actually a parallel I see between Carson Wentz and the situation and the Ben Simmons situation.
Yeah, it is. And so, although he didn't come in and lollygag practice.
No, but both general managers mismanaged the situations, in my opinion. Like it was a case both with Howie Roseman and with Daryl Morey of not having the proper understanding of the person that you're dealing with. In other words, with Wentz, when they ended up drafting Jalen Hurts, you have to be realistic about the player that you're dealing with and how he's going to react to that. And I think it's the same thing with Ben Simmons. Like, you really expect that guy to come in and play the good soldier while you try to get a deal for him, knowing what, you know, the way his personality is. So that, you know, I see kind of some.
Yeah, it's very interesting. But let's talk about the quarterback that's currently here, because I'm reading a lot of metric numbers that don't really favor Jalen Hurts at this particular point. So I know, are these numbers we put too much emphasis on it? What's the general consensus about how this quarterback is played? And then we'll get to the coach's part of all this.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, I think that he's obviously, it's been kind of a roller coaster ride. You've seen in 3 games where his combined completion percentage is like 69% with 7 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. In the other 3 games, Mike, it's around 50% completion rate with 0 touchdowns and a pick. And so you've seen just kind of this, you know, these big spikes and dips where what you're looking for out of the quarterback position is a little bit more consistency. And I think, part of what Sirianni said does hold up, that there are times where he bails out of the pocket a little bit too early, where he needs to kind of hang in there and stay within the structure of the offense. But you know, the more and more that I've been kind of looking at the film and studying it, the more to me it falls on the play calling over the quarterback.
Okay, that's interesting. All right, now in relation to the play calling, Sirianni said this: it comes down to play calling of putting Hurts in position where he feels comfortable with the play to read it out versus different looks. We're seeing some unscouted looks because we're slightly different than other teams with the way Jalen plays. Can you interpret that for me?
I think what he's saying is that when Hurts is back there and he's getting something different than what he was anticipating, that his inclination is to roll out of the pocket and try to create outside of structure. I think that's what he's saying. But I think of course you're 2-4 and the offense is clunking over the last couple games. Like there's plenty to go around, but I think that if I were to put the majority of it right now, just based on what I'm looking at, I would put it on Sirianni. In other words, Mike, I don't feel like, he's putting them in a great position. I feel like most of the plays are either designed to be like these, bubble screens or these really short passes, or he's extending it down the field. There's very little in the terms of intermediate play calling. There's very little over the middle. Jalen Hurts right now is the last quarterback in the NFL when it comes to passes over the middle, 32nd. He is number one in shotgun attempts. In other words, like these tendencies that keep showing up, I don't think are putting Hurts in a great position. And also I think it's becoming a little bit too predictable. Like defenses are snuffing it out. They have answers to what they're doing in the zone read game. They have answers to what they're doing in the RPO game. And I don't think this quarterback is being set up for success right now.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, let's look at the other side of it. Is the coach doing that because he's just a bonehead, or is he doing it because he does not trust his quarterback to execute those particular situations, including going under center and throwing in the middle of the field?
Well, I think, the under center stuff, I don't think that Hurts couldn't do it. I think they're just doing it because they really like to live in that kind of RPO system, and that's where, the snap comes, and then they do the mesh point and the whole thing. And so that works primarily from the shotgun point. Mm-hmm. But I've seen Hurts throw the ball over the middle. Like, I know he's 6'1", and so does that limit you a little bit? Do you have to find your windows? Yes to that. But if you're looking at the actual, scheme designs, like, nobody's going over the middle, hardly at all. Like, everything's kind of flushed out to the outside. And so I understand that to a certain degree, or probably to a large degree, it's about trying to play to your quarterback's strengths and in their mind, like the plays that they're calling are. But I just don't know that that's the case fully here. I think that they have to reexamine a little bit what they're doing in order to get Hurts in a better spot.
All right, so obviously there's really a lot of attention on what they're not doing. Is he the type of guy that would agree with that? And so against the Raiders, do something different this way?
Well, they had this mini bye to self-scout. We've heard a lot about this evaluation process, and we've also heard from both sides of the football where they said that they're not scheme specific, that it's all about the players and catering to their abilities. And so this is the time where what they say needs to match what they do. They go into the season with a certain philosophy. This is the way that we think it's best to attack. And, they have to tweak now. They have to recognize that what they're doing is not good enough, and in many cases is not playing to their players' full strengths. And so this would be the time, Mike, where we're going to find out. We know what they've said. They said that they're very, very much willing to adjust and be malleable, and it's a player-driven league and the whole deal. And, Sunday they get a chance to prove that.
All right, let's look at the offensive line on Sunday with Lane Johnson being back. I don't know how he's looked in practice, whether they're comfortable with him back there. But if they are, I guess that moves Mailata back to left tackle. And Dillard, who has played okay, out of the lineup?
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. And we saw Johnson. This was really his first practice since coming back, and we get, you know, about 15 minutes of access, and he looks like Blaine Johnson. And the expectation is that he's going to be back at that right tackle spot, and then you would have Driscoll next to him, and then Kelsey, and then Dickerson, and yeah, and then Jordan Mailata going back to his natural spot at left tackle, which would bump Dillard out. Now, Dillard, he's been better maybe than, especially how down people have been on him, better than expectation. But there was also some, you know, a couple big mistakes that he's made as well in there. Mailata outplayed him during the summer. He's outplayed him on the field for the most part. And yeah, so that would be the expectation that you would have Mailata on one side, Lane Jackson back in his right tackle spot.
All right. Quickly about the coaches. Now, Sirianni, when he talks, confuses me a little bit on what he's trying to actually say. The defensive coordinator appears to be in denial about a lot of things. And like he said something about Ryan Kerrigan, you know, and he battled, I guess that was with Dave Zangaro on that question. What's up with Jonathan Gannon? What do you read?
Yeah, I mean, he's protecting players. That's got to be part of it. I don't know how much he can believe that, and he's stressing that, you know, this veteran who's been around the game forever, he's lining up right and his eyes are in the right place. Like, yeah, I mean, that should be expected.
Yeah.
But what he's doing with the snaps, and are you really playing winning football? And then he went and talked about how he was balling and how Fletcher Cox was balling. And, you know, I mean, it's contrary to what we're seeing with our own eyes.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
foolish, really. To me, it's a little silly.
I mean, he's got to do it. Like, as a coach, you have to protect your guys. But also, it's fine to mix in like an honest assessment there as well. I mean, if you're thinking that you have a Chris Long version of Ryan Kerrigan and he's not giving you a lot of productive snaps, I mean, that's everybody can see it. And so you don't want to, you want to protect your players, but you also don't want to kind of, you know, make a fool of your fan base either by, you know, saying something that we see, you know, that they see is untrue.
Yeah. All right. So the timing of the trading of Ertz, is that coinciding with the fact that Tyree Jackson may be back for them and be ready to contribute in some form?
Yeah, well, he got placed in the 20-day practice window and was on the practice field today, Mike, you know, in some capacity. And so it looks like he is creeping closer to being able to produce. And then, you know, the other thing that you look at is it was getting closer to the trade deadline, and the Eagles have to be kind of realistic about what this season is developing into. You know, they see that the Dallas Cowboys they look like they're legit. And the dual tight end formations that they had, in their opinion, wasn't maximizing the abilities of either one of those. I think that's probably right, but everybody kind of saw that for the writing on the wall there for a long time now. And so those are the factors that are factoring in. And, you know, Jackson's a great story, but he also has like zero experience in the NFL. And so it's going to be, you know, to expect him to fill in and, you know, be even a shade of what Zach Ertz was probably isn't realistic. If you get that, then that's a bonus for your offense, but you can't in any way be relying on it.
All right. Timmy, it's always a pleasure. And just a point of information, the Ben Simmons house is back on the market in case you're interested at 4.999 in Morristown, New Jersey. 10,000 square feet. It's just back on the market.
I'm going to wait till it gets to 4.5 before I put my offer in.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Tim. We appreciate it.
All right, Mike. Good talking
to you. Tim McPhatters.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.